So yeah, if you've got a Bible with you or whatever you use, we're obviously going to look at Ephesians 3 this morning. Hopefully Sarah's going to put up the actual particular verse that I've asked her to put up at this point. Just so you don't see my face. It's a lot better than me. But we're also going to start at verse 1 anyway, because I think it's good to read it all as a background of how Paul gets to this point, really. So if you're ready, we'll go. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation. I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, I will take you able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which is not made known to men in other generations, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery that through the gospel of the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I'm not less than at least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for all ages past was kept hidden within God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which is for your glory. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I just pray this morning that you just open our hearts and our minds to you, what you want to say this morning through your Spirit. And Lord, encourage and build us up. And Lord, let us be known more about you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. And actually, I actually want to take us back in time to understand how Paul gets to this point about us approaching God with confidence and without fear. I'm actually going to look at Genesis 3, verse 8 to 10. You don't have to go to it in your Bible, just listen to it as I read it. It says this: Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, and he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to man, saying, Where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. You know, we have a God whose greatest desire is to have a close and intimate relationship with each and every one of us. At his creation, he didn't just disappear into the background and go and do something else. His heart's desire was to be part of and included in the creation that he had already made. And we are so thankful we have a God that rolls his sleeves up and gets his hands dirty and gets involved with our lives as he sees us. And as we see God walking in the garden here, he inquires where Adam is. Now, God already knew Adam's situation and what he'd done, but it still asked Adam, where are you? And Adam's reply is, I was so afraid I had to hide myself from you. See, at this point now, sin had entered the world. But because God's holiness, sin and him could not mix, he had to banish Adam and Eve from the garden. And his heart probably broken at this point, seeing them disappear down the background, but his desire still was to have that perfect relationship with them once more. God had a great plan for restoration. Now, throughout Scripture, whether you start at the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, through to Judges, Kings, prophecies, even into the Gospels, the Epistles, and even in the book of Revelation, God's desire was for restoration, to bring mankind back to the place before sin had entered the world, to have that close, intimate, face-to-face relationship with his creation. And those of us who are doing this Bible study course through these next few weeks, the one thing you will find as a thread running through all the books is this world is the word restoration. Because that's what God desires as the scriptures are exposed to us. Now sin was in the world, mankind could not directly go into God's holy presence anymore. Sacrificial offerings were the only way to approach God. To bring sacrifices into his presence, into the Holy of Holies, as they called it, a high priest would have to go through a thick curtain with a rope around his waist. Now that rope was there in case he was struck down by the awesomeness of God. And then, for if he was, they could pull him out. But God's great plan was to allow us to approach in faith, in confidence, and without fear. And Jesus became that ultimate sacrifice, the one without sin, the high priest, the Holy One, who now gives us access to God. You know, at his last breath, a thick curtain was torn from top to bottom, a symbol of the barrier now broken between man and God, allowing us to approach God with boldness, with confidence, in faith, and now without fear. It allows us now not to rely on an earthly priest anymore, but we can have now a one-to-one, face-to-face, close and intimate relationship with him once more. At the cross, Jesus cries out, "Tetelestai, Tetelestai, it is finished." Now, Tetelestai means something more than just something coming to an end. It's used on a receipt to indicate that a debt had been paid. In Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For you have been bought with a price. We are no longer our own, but we belong to Jesus." Now, guards would nail a charge sheet to the prisoner's door with a list of all the crimes that they had committed. When the sentence had finished, when it had been served, Tetelestai was stamped on the charge sheet, and it pointed that the prisoner was now set free from condemnation of all the crimes he had committed. At the cross, the charge sheet of all our sins were destroyed when it was nailed to the cross through Jesus. Tetelestai has been stamped on us. Our charge sheet is no more, and we are now set free like the prisoner, free from condemnation. It says in Colossians 2:14, "By cancelling the record of our debt and stood against us with legal demands, this has been set aside by nailing it to the cross." We are set free from our sinful ways. And because we are now set free, we can now boldly approach God. Not by earthly confidence, it is by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ spilled at the cross for us. Because we have been bought with a price, we now belong to him. We are now in Christ. See, when we approach God now, he doesn't see our sinful nature anymore, but now sees the holiness of Jesus. We too are now made holy through him. As Tom put it the other day, a holy swap has taken place for us in his sight. Hebrews 10:19 says this: "Since we have confidence to enter the holy places through the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean of an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen one. You are a royal priesthood. You are a royal nation, a holy nation. And Romans 12:1 says this, that we can approach now as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. See, God is calling us to have a close and intimate face-to-face relationship with him, an encounter with the one who truly loves us. We don't need a rope round our waist anymore. We can just enter in. We can enter here in, why? So we can hear his voice, the true voice, without worldly distractions around us. He can tell us who we are, what our purpose is, and how he calls us to do that purpose. You see, if we're far away and distant, we have difficulty in hearing that true voice. We are distracted. His voice can become muffled. Worldly things get in the way. It becomes like a curtain as a barrier to him. In Matthew 16, it goes on to say, in the close presence of Jesus, Peter finally discovers his identity, purpose, and calling. Others sit there and pontificate of who Jesus actually is. But Peter boldly says and recognizes Jesus as he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. But it's only when Peter knows who Jesus is when Jesus then reveals his calling. He is the rock of the church. He is the one the church will be built upon. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And like Peter, God invites us to draw near, to boldly approach in faith, to be in his presence. So he can reveal our identity to us, our purpose, our calling to each one of us and the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it either. God's desire is to continue his restoration plan for his creation, for you, for me, and the world. And he is inviting each one of us to be part of that plan too. No longer is our sin a barrier to him. No longer do we have to be ashamed. For in his eyes, we are not naked like Adam and Eve, but clothed in righteousness through the blood of Jesus. We are now in Christ. We are now made holy. It now gives us direct access to him. But God is asking us the same question he asked Adam and Eve. He already knows our situations, but he's asking us, where are you? Where are you? Because he's waiting to hear from you. He's waiting for us to boldly approach in faith, in confidence, and without fear. Because he wants us to draw near to him and listen to what he has to say. I'm going to finish now with actually praying what Paul prayed in Ephesians 3 over us, which I think. And then hopefully I asked Ellen for this next song to listen to, because I think it sums up exactly what we're trying to say here. So let's pray. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how deep and how love his Christ for you, and know his love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable more than we'll ever ask or imagine, according to his power and as his work within us. To him be the glory, to the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.